If you're a guest with us this morning, my name is Doug. I'm the pastor here at Community Church, and I had the privilege of leading the Bible study group. Now, you got to picture what it's like every morning to sit down with 20, 25 kids. I don't know how teachers do it. Full of energy, rambunctious, and man, to get them to sit still to try to tell a Bible story was not very easy. And so this morning, what I would like to do is, in a very similar way, in the next 10 or 15 minutes, take you through what a Bible study looked like each morning. Our theme was created by God, built for a purpose. So I'd like to read to you from Psalm 139. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. You saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Every morning, we started off in a large group like this. And we began to look at some inventions that have been made. And at the end, Marlene and Niels and others created some things that all of us got to see how they worked. Have you ever thought about inventions that have been made? Let me take you back, way back in history, to the early 70s when I was born. And let me share with you some things that have been made. In 1970, the VCR was built. You may remember those big, bulky machines that had huge cassettes that used to play our videos that now today seem outdated. Anyone still got VHS at home? All right. There's a few of us. 1970, the floppy disk was invented. Now, let me take you. And I don't have a picture for the next one. So there's no picture of this. But in 1971, the year I was born, email was invented. 1972, the hacky sack. If you're old enough to remember, it's a little ball that you often would kick up and you would do tricks. Now this was my favorite and is still my favorite, Pong. It was a little box that had a ball go back and forth. And whether you played tennis, hockey, golf, it looked like that. It was state-of-the-art video gaming of its time. Let me give you one more. 1973, the barcode was invented. And one day as we began, Pastor Jack was showing an invention, and one day he had a little helicopter spinner thing where lights came on, and he pulled it, and it flew into the crowd. And he reminded us that all of those were created by somebody. They were all created by somebody who had the genius to think about it, somebody else who maybe laid it out, somebody else who actually did the making of it. But all of those technologies that we've just kind of shared with you were made by someone. And all of those individuals were made by someone even more powerful. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created light and darkness. He created land and sea, vegetation and sun and moon and stars, birds of the air and fish of the sea, and yeah, if you've been on vacation this summer, even mosquitoes. And then he created human beings. He called them the very crown of creation. God, in his infinite wisdom, created you and me, and he saw that it was good. David, the author, writes this: you made me and all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit them together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. I know that full well. And as we began to talk about that with the kids, we began to look at different things and began to understand for them that as they look at themselves, they experience things that maybe we don't experience. They hear things like, you're not pretty enough. You're not smart enough. You're not tall enough. You're not athletic enough. But I don't think we're all that different, are we? I mean, look at all the technology that goes in today to make us look younger, to enhance certain parts of our bodies or make them smaller. We begin to look at ourselves and we don't think that it's very good. But do you hear what David's saying? I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Picture it for a moment. 23 chromosomes from your mother and from your father. 15,000 genes joined together to make you. If you look at a square inch of your skin, 20 blood vessels, 65 muscles, 78 nerves, 78 sensors for heat, 13 for cold, 160 for pressure, 650 sweat glands, 1,300 nerve endings, 19,500 cells, all in a square inch of your skin. I ask the children to look at themselves, and I want you to do the same thing too. Because when I look at you, I see somebody that is fearfully and wonderfully made and very complex, but I don't think we actually get the magnitude of what God is saying. And I shared some of these things with the kids, and they're like, whoa. Picture it for a moment. By the time you're 70 years old, your brain will have stored 100 trillion bits of information. There are 1,500 keys, roughly, if you compare it to a piano, which is, 88, in your ear, that if you listen closely enough, it is believed that you can hear the blood flowing through your vessels. Your eyes can see a candlelight 30 miles away. Your eyes can picture 300,000 variations of color. Your nose is so powerful, it can smell a drop of perfume three rooms away. The largest bone in your body, the femur, can hold 30 times your weight. Your ears and your nose don't stop growing. Your finger has 50% of the power that is found in your hand. The 500 sweat glands in your feet can produce a pint of sweat every day. Did you know that your fingernails grow faster on the hand that you write with? Your organ, or your liver, can replenish itself. Fearfully and wonderfully made. I got out my mirror, and here's my mirror, and I turned it around to the kids, and I asked them what they saw. And the only thing I could get out of them was a reflection. A reflection of what? A reflection of God's beauty and creative power. If I were to turn a mirror around to you this morning, I hope that you would see a picture of God. Because the Bible says that you and I were created in the image of God. Gifted, unlike anybody else in this room. David writes, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, you saw my unformed body. People of God, God made you. Wow, God. We learned that God will always love you. We learned that God is for you. I begin to have the kids' attention again by the time I'm doing this. That God is always with you. And if God made you, people of God, God has a purpose or a reason for you. Wow, God. I didn't always get the lines right either. But if God made you, and God made you so fearfully and wonderfully complex, then God must have a purpose for your life. And there was the end of day one. Day two, we looked to the story. Does anyone from BBC remember what we talked about on day two. Bethany. We talked about Rahab. What was the purpose of Rahab? Right. In the story of Joshua, they were going to go around the city of Jericho, and they were trying to find out how they could capture the city to make their way towards the promised land. And they make their way to Jericho, and they are in a city where there's a huge wall. It's protected. The gates were locked at night, so they need to figure out how they could take the city. And there was a lady named Rahab. She was a woman of ill repute. And yet God used this woman to protect the spies that Joshua sent in. And so she hid them on her roof. And she told the soldiers that had come looking for them that they had already left. And if they made their way to the gate, they might be able to catch them. And they lower the spies down on the other side, and they're free. And the Israelites come in, and they conquer Jericho, and Rahab and her family are saved. Rahab's purpose was to advance the process of Israel going to the promised land. Her purpose was very specific for this cause. She also became an ancestor to Jesus. Day three, we look to the story of who? Anyone from BBC remember? Yeah, Gideon. Why do we talk about Gideon? What was his purpose? There was the Midianites, right? The people of God had fallen back or fallen away from God. And Gideon is called to go in and to crush all of the idols that were the people of God were worshiping. And the people were mad. And so they want to capture Gideon and do away with him, but Gideon's father sets up this plan that they would build an altar and to see if the gods of the day of Baal would respond, and he didn't. And so the Midianites were captured, and those who had fallen away from God and were worshiping the idols began to realize and see the power of God. So Gideon was used to bring the people back to God. That was his purpose. Day four is Thursday. Anybody remember what we did Thursday? Yeah. We talked about Jesus, and the purpose of Jesus was to save us from our sin. And so we began to tell the children the story of Jesus. We told them the story of the cross. We began to let them know how they could accept Jesus into their heart and in their life, and what it meant to live for Jesus. And then on day five, we told the story of who? Starts with an A. Abigail. Abigail is Nabob's wife. And Nabob was out one day in his fields, and he was watching over his sheep, and some enemies started to come in and wanted to rob and take all of his possessions. But David and his men were nearby, and David protects Nabob's sheep and his livelihood from falling apart and from being captured. And then it's now the time of the festival of the shearing of the sheep. And David asks Nabob to return the favor and give them something to eat. But Nabob says, I don't know you. I want nothing to do with you. He rejected them. So we asked the children what it meant or what it felt to be rejected. And Abigail comes on the scene because David's mad. David wants to get even. And Abigail sends provisions to David to appease him, to settle things down. And she follows behind. And you know what happens? She changes the story. Because David is now calm and at peace. He gives thanks to God for sending Abigail from having him do something that he later would have regretted as he became king. Abigail was a profound person in the story. But it's not only that. We have a purpose. Think of all the things that we have today that are created. Think of in 2000 when the GPS was invented. I don't get lost anymore. 2001, the iPod was developed, and you could listen to music wherever you wanted, apart from those Walkmans most of us probably remember. The Xbox was invented the same year. And just 4 years later, in 2005, YouTube came to life. Out of all of those things, they're nothing in comparison to you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by a good and a loving God. This morning, as I said to the kids almost every day, that if they didn't realize it, they are specifically unique. They are exactly the way God wanted them to be. They were, and they are, the representation of God here on earth. But what's our purpose? Our purpose is really twofold. The first is this, is to know God and to enjoy him forever. And so out of that Thursday, when we invited the kids to hear the story of Jesus and his love for us and his death and his resurrection, we began to tell them how they could have life and how they could know that forever in the grace that God offers to us. And we don't need to do anything except to accept the goodness and the grace and the mercy and the love of God. But you get to know God by spending more time with him, by being in places like this, by reading the Bible, by praying, by being engaged in things like Vacation Bible Camp or Boys Club or GEMS or Teen Club or Insight or a small group. And they're not just things that we do, but they're things that we engage in so that we can know God more. Have you discovered the purpose of your life in enjoying God? Adrian Rogers tells this great illustration. Picture this young couple. They were going away for the first time, and they had a great time, and they found this hotel. It was spectacular. The room was beyond belief. But then they went to bed, and they pulled out the couch, which is a pull-out couch. They lay down, and they went to sleep. But then the next morning, they came down, and they complained that the beds were so horrible. And then the manager said, "Did you open the door?" You see, there was a door they thought was a closet. But beyond that door was the most spectacular bed, with the finest of linen, with the most comfortable pillows, with flowers all over the room, and chocolates on the pillow. God has that in store for your life and my life. And he invites us to taste and to enjoy that by giving our lives to him and falling and growing in faith. You were created for a purpose of knowing God and enjoying him forever. But then there's the second part. It's about using the gifts and the talents and the abilities that God has given to you. And so I ask the kids, I go, what is your purpose? What are you good at? And so I heard things like, oh, I'm good at art, and how can you use your gift of art for God? I'm good at sports, how can you use that for God? I'm good at befriending kids on the playground that nobody wants to play with. I'm good at math. How can you help others with the gift that God has given to you? I think of those that were leading, who had the gift of leading. I think of Marlene and Pastor Jack, who helped put together all of the program that we went through and the gifts that were used there. So my question for you this morning is this. As I ask the kids, with how God has shaped you and fearfully and wonderfully made you, how can you use your gifts to point others to Jesus? Because God has shaped you and gifted you in a way that he shaped and gifted nobody else. With your unique experience, with your unique backgrounds, how will you be used by God to point others to Jesus this week? Amen. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for the joy and the privilege that it is to know you. Thank you for the fact that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Lord, we often take that so for granted. We look at the things we can't do rather than the things we can do. We look at the things that maybe we don't like about ourselves rather than the things that there is to celebrate.
And Lord, thank you for the fact that you have made us exactly the way that you wanted us to be. And like you placed Rahab, like you placed Gideon, like you placed Jesus, and like you placed Abigail, at a specific time and place in history, you have placed us right here, right now in the greater Toronto area, to be able to tell the story of a God who loves us, who made us, who is always with us, and who is for us. Thanks for making us so wonderfully and fearfully complex. May we come to know you in a real way and be excited to live out that expression in all we do. In your name we pray.
Amen.